This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. 8 o'clock. It's Tribble tonight. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got some nasty weather coming to town. Tomorrow morning is just going to be depressing. It's going to be probably about 35 degrees and raining. Of course, you're going to get some snow north of town. We're not going to get any snow here. So it's just going to be just nasty. But just hold it together. It's going to last just throughout today. Then it's going to move out. It's not going to linger for a few days from what I've seen. But going to be a little nasty in the morning and hateful. So just give yourself some time. Be patient. Be nice to your kids. Be nice to your wife. Be nice to your husband. Don't take out your depression on them. Internalize it. Keep your emotions to yourself. Nobody cares. That's what I'm trying to say.
Bottle them up like a real man.
Bottle them up like the real. Be a man. So the Atlanta Hawks, I'm not expecting much this year. And I think we've been over this. You've heard it. You know what's going on. Jalen Johnson injury just kind of threw a wrench into everything. And because of that, you end up trading DeAndre Hunter, somebody who finally seemed to find a role for. He was coming into his own. He was instant offense and defense off the bench as a sixth man. You trade him away to Cleveland. And you bring in some dudes. Jags, just another guy. Well, they're pros. Pretty good shooters amongst the mix. Okay, I get that. But right after the trade, you win, what, 3 in a row, I believe? And you almost beat New York. And what I love about this team, and this is why I'm interested in them, even though I know there's not going to be a title this year, just how competitive they were. The fact they did not quit against the Knicks down 6 points with 18 seconds left. And I was talking about this yesterday. It's like I was listening to Steve Holman on the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 929 the game. 18 seconds left. Steve Holman is already mourning the fact that that game was a loss up there at Madison Square Garden. You could hear him basically getting his stuff together, going to put it in his briefcase and get the hell out of there and go have a drink. What do the Hawks do? They tie it, force overtime. What are they doing overtime? Going a 5-0 run, but they ultimately fell just a little bit short. But they've shown this sort of thing. This is Quinn Snyder inflicting his notion of what a competitive culture is, and there's buy-in from this team. There's buy-in, unlike the prior coach. Under the prior coach, if the Hawks were ever down double digits or even down 6 points with a minute left, you pretty much knew it was over. Then we'd have to hear Nate McMillan in the post-game press conference. Well, we were flat. We just didn't play defense. Blah, blah, blah. There's an energy and a vibe to this team and a bit of a core. I'm looking forward to next year when Jalen Johnson gets back and maybe what they can do to supplement this roster. I think it's trending in the right direction. I'm going to be interested in Hawks basketball, at least for the near future, because right now, what are you? I think you're eighth place in the Eastern Conference.
Yes, you are eighth. I believe you're behind
game and a half.
The Pistons.
Game and a half behind the Magic. Three games behind the Pistons. Four behind the Bucks, who are the fifth seed. But it's kind of hard to jump over three teams in the NBA. So you have a shot to scratch and claw to the sixth seed and avoid the play-in situation. And it's like I said, I think if the Hawks could be an annoyance to a team in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to necessarily win a series, but they're not going to go lightly. They're not going to go quietly, and they could be an annoyance. As priorly constituted, when they had DeAndre Hunter and Jalen Johnson, the Hawks were a bit of a matchup nightmare for the Cavaliers and Celtics, who were probably going to be playing for the Eastern Conference Championship. Hawks have beaten them both twice. Got to win against the Knicks, too, here in Atlanta. Knicks will be coming back in town in April, I believe, by the way. So that's what I'm looking forward to as far as the Hawks go. We shall see what happens. But I can't wait to at least see what goes on, because I think you got, 26 games left. Most of your games left, I think 16 of them are at home, 9 on the road. Most of your games against losing teams, I don't know if that really means necessarily all that much, because you have a losing record as well. So, as for the All-Star game, we know what a joke it was. Kevin Hart, I want to take Kevin Hart. I want to take Snoop. I want to take Taylor Swift. I just want them to go away. They are so massively overexposed. We get tired of anybody that is overexposed. The Kelce brothers. I'm tired of the Kelce brothers. Manning brothers to a certain degree. Tired of them too. But we did not need to have what we had on Sunday again. Last year was just an absolute clown world of an All-Star game. You saw it. What was the final score? 212 to 198 or something like that. My recommendation to fix the NBA All-Star game, now think about this. You got 125 international players from 43 countries across six continents. From like Canada, France, Australia, Germany, Serbia, Nigeria. You got some Italian players, Croatia. Have this game, and a lot of people said this, and look at all the juice. There's going to be a lot of people that don't normally watch hockey. What are they going to be doing tomorrow night? They're going to watch Team USA versus Canada in that NHL tournament, which they're using to replace the NHL All-Star game because of the vitriol. USA won the game last Saturday, 3-1. People in Montreal booed our national anthem. We know why. There's some geopolitical angst going on between the U.S. and Canada. I think that kind of fired up Team USA a little bit, and as a result, you had three fights in the first 9 seconds. So tomorrow night, they're going to play O Canada, and I'm sure those people at whatever they call Boston Garden now, they're going to be booing the Canadian national anthem, and it's going to be chippy. And it's going to be, they're going to play with passion. It's going to be very competitive. You're not going to want to let the guy next to you down. Why can't we do this with the NBA All-Star game? Have Team USA versus Team World and alternate it. Let them play overseas every other year. Have an All-Star game in Greece or Serbia or Spain or Germany or Italy, Croatia, Africa. If you go online, look up European basketball games. The fans are out of their mind. It's like a soccer game. They're out of their mind. And as I was mocking the NBA as far as the end game, it's nothing like the electricity and the passion you see over there. What do we hear? Let's go, Hawks. Doom, doom, doom.
It's the best way that I can put it, you know how the passion that like college football sees?
Yeah.
That's what it's like for Europeans 24/7.
Yeah.
With sports. Like,
oh, it is.
That's how it is.
There's a lot of passion.
So imagine that crowd, that atmosphere, at an All-Star game, basketball. Oh, my God.
And gin up the disrespect and a little bit of a geopolitical angst, too.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I don't know if necessarily all the NBA players that would play for Team USA are necessarily patriotic, but here's how you appeal to them. Disrespect them. Disrespect them a little bit. Talk a little trash to them. That'll galvanize them.
Absolutely.
There is no amount of financial incentive that can make these guys want to play in a game like this.
At least,
but
not
this sort of thing.
Yeah, not the stars. That's the issue. Yeah. Is that money isn't going to be an incentive for these guys because, like, all of the guys that were selected to be starters in the All-Star game are making well over $10 million, hundreds of millions of dollars,
$70 million at least.
They like winning another million at the All-Star game is nothing to them.
Go inside a hostile arena where a foreign crowd is all over you.
And also,
that'll piss them off and make them want to play hard. I think that would work.
Also, just from a talent perspective, looking at what the game, like, you want to hear what, like, a potential starting five of the international players would be?
Oh, wait, well, you got Luka, you got Joker.
You could have starting five of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's Canadian. You could have Luka Doncic. You could have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and, like, Andrew Wiggins is Canadian. Yeah. That can be your starting
five.
Well, you
know, Kyrie's from Australia.
Kyrie is coming off the bench. Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam. Rudy Gobert. Like,
there you go. You don't think they could beat our All-Star?
International's
You're
team
damn
is
right
kind
they
of
could.
Stacked.
Oh, yeah, absolutely are. And I think they would actually have a good effect on, like, the AAU stuff. If they get embarrassed a couple times, I think that'll make them rethink the way we are developing players, because the way they develop players over there, they actually practice. They don't play nine games a week for AAU where they just try to chuck up threes and get their little YouTube videos for recruiting purposes. I think it could work. Now, there's a lot of unintended consequences about anything, but I don't see why this would be a problem. Flights are kind of long, certainly, but, you know, so what? Give them 9 days off. Give them a week off. A week's enough.
Yeah, you get 9 days off.
And guess what?
Just look at it as a trip to going out of the country. You're just taking a
And just do
vacation.
Away. Do away with the skills competition. Do away with a three-point. Do away with a slam dunk. I don't know. Maybe the international crowd would enjoy that. Okay, if you want to incorporate that, fine. But I think the game would mean something. It wouldn't have to be a gimmick game, first team to 40. You just play a regular game.
I'm not mad at that. I would like to keep the skills competition and stuff like that. I think those can be
That's
fun.
Okay.
Those, in all honesty, are just dependent upon the participants.
Yep.
Like, when the skills competition, and they changed it up, like, the format and stuff, which I don't like. I like it before when it was just kind of like the guys racing through the stuff. Like, when it was just one-on-one, you both are racing at the same time, you can see the other part. Like, I thought that was fun. And then the three-point contest and the dunk contest, in all honesty, those will be interesting if the players are interesting.
Yeah.
Like, after this dunk contest, when Mac McClung won, John Morant was on Twitter talking about, man, maybe I do want to do a slam dunk contest.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. No, but, like, if Ja Morant, Zach LaVine, and Aaron Gordon all decide to do the dunk contest next year,
but
haven't
we seen them all, though? There's nothing new to do.
But it's about the name, I think. I think that's what it is. Seeing the big names do it is what – because, like –
Well, that's juice. I mean, I tell you, I was riveted when Dominique and Jordan were battling year after year. Then Spud Webb shows up at 5'7".
Exactly. So I think the names are what matters in those side kind of competitions and side things. Like,
name over what type of dunks. Yeah, name, I can see that. But they're all too cool to do it now, though. It's beneath them. They're just too cool.
I say it all the time. LeBron killed the dunk contest.
He did.
LeBron kept
He's killed
going.
A lot of things. I'll be so happy when he's gone. I know there's a lot of dudes out there that love LeBron. God bless you. Love him all you want. I just don't like him.
I like LeBron. I sometimes get labeled as a LeBron hater, which is funny because like all I ever say is,
"Well, I don't hate anybody. Hatred's a bad thing. Yeah. I just don't. I just have a. I think he's kind of toxic."
Yeah. All I ever say is that he's the second greatest player of all time. I don't understand how that gets misconstrued as hate.
But I grew up on, you know, Magic and Bird and
exactly
the Lord.
The thing that I will say that irks me about LeBron, he
and MJ, of course, Kobe.
He is such an attention seeker.
Of course,
like this whole stuff that he did with the All-Star game, like, dude, you knew you weren't playing. Don't give me the nonsense
absurd.
Of
you deprived
tried to
somebody
play
a chance.
You deprived someone of being out there. Then
that's his way of making himself the story, I think.
Then on top of that, apparently you were so injured you couldn't even care enough to put on your uniform for like the team photo that everyone took. Did you see that?
Yeah, see that's stuff like that. That's
is
all
just,
you need to know.
Come on,
and you. Monopolize a roster spot on the Lakers for your son who's not good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's just
Bronny,
not.
I'll give Bronny his credit. He's been getting better in the G League. He is still nowhere near ready for
the
NBA.
He seems like a great kid. That's fine.
He's nowhere near ready for the NBA, though.
But if he didn't have that name, he wouldn't. He'd just be another
absolutely.
Guy.
1,000%.
And it's. You just didn't see the. And I sound like an old man yelling at clouds, but come on. the attention seeking that LeBron does, and the when he pantomimes putting a crown on his head, just stop.
Stuff like that doesn't bother me, especially like, you know, he got the whole King James moniker and the chosen one. I'm okay with that, you know. But like I said, the whole
yeah, but it should be done with a wink and a nod. But he's convinced it's true, and it's not. It's not.
I can feel that.
The guy that played for the Bulls that you know has something to say about that. Even Kobe.
Listen,
Magic, Bird, those are guys I grew up with.
A lot of guys are a little misguided in where they think that they land in the totem pole.
And he really lost me when the fake reading of the book, so he looked like he's some sort of an intellectual.
Yes. That.
He's still on page two of that book?
That's one of my favorite moments. And shout out to Taylor Rooks because she's the one that asked him. He had his Malcolm X
book.
Was
it a Malcolm X book? Yeah.
And she asked him, she actually asked him a question about the book, and it immediately became apparent that he has not read it at all.
No.
It was very generic.
And if he actually read that book, he probably wouldn't have. I'm not going to get into it. Because Malcolm X didn't believe a lot of the things a lot of people think he did. And LeBron seems to espouse views that Malcolm X didn't. I can talk about that a little bit, but this isn't the place or time for that. That's why I thought it was so hilarious, because it's like, okay. That's French for the Bron, by the way. All right, good Lord, man. Hey, college football. Well, guess what? Hostile takeover, a coup, is it? Big Ten, SEC flexing their muscles, inflicting their will upon everything else. Is that a good idea? We'll just explore that next. Sports Radio, 1990 Game. Welcome back. It's Tribble tonight, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Got about an hour and 39 minutes left to kill. Not kill. To dazzle you, entertain you. You'll laugh. You'll cry. A lot of college football fans may be crying, though. All right. They're going to redo the deal for the college football playoffs. It's going to run between 2026 and 2031. It's going to go to 14 or 16 teams. Basically, what has happened? SEC and Big Ten walked into the room and said, we don't like the way things are going. And guess what? We're bigger than you and more powerful than you. And if you don't believe us, they threaten to actually start their own playoff. They now have total control. But there has been a clear line of demarcation. Big Ten, SEC have been the best, pure and simple. So what they basically want, four guaranteed slots in the playoff between them. Does that mean there's going to be a ninth playoff game? Because we never really got to, we finally saw what Indiana basically was in the playoff, I guess you could say. They didn't really play anybody. All right. What is this going to mean, though? How many three-loss teams do you want in the playoff? I don't know if I want that many. It depends on the schedule, too. I mean, Alabama last year, three losses, but, man, they had some bad loss. Vanderbilt, that Vanderbilt loss was ghastly. Oklahoma loss, terrible. What were their other nondescript wins? Who was it? South Florida, Texas, San Antonio, something like that. So how are they going to put this together? And I got to tell you too, as much as I love college football and the fact the championship game Notre Dame and Ohio State was here, I just didn't feel the juice that I normally feel on an October Saturday for college football. Was it too far drawn out? The 12-team playoff was kind of a disappointment. Didn't have a whole lot of really competitive games aside from Arizona State and Texas right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Other than that, they weren't really all that competitive. So 14 or 16 teams. It doesn't mean it's always going to be non-competitive. Would Ole Miss have been a better entry? Everybody thought Tennessee would have been good. Look what happened. They got boat raced up there in Columbus. South Carolina. Arguably the last team you wanted to play in the playoff, what would have happened if they went to Columbus? I don't know. Ohio State didn't win their conference. What does it mean for conference title games? There's a lot. I don't know the answers to any of these things. I normally thought more college football would be good, but if you water down something, and is this going to render the regular season meaningless? I don't know necessarily, because the regular season defines who goes to the playoff, right? So that's kind of an overstatement. But I could also see how, maybe it's not going to make that big of a deal. But I wonder, though, if you have all these playoff games, 14 or 16 teams, I think you're going to have a lot of pretty bad atmospheres because a lot of these games are going to be neutral site. Neutral site games, not going to be a lot of juice. There's only so much money people can spend on traveling to follow their college football team. And granted, it does cost a little money. You have to travel to Athens, say, from South Georgia or whatever. But it's not quite the same investment, though. I think it's a little bit less. So I think you're going to have some playoff games. It's going to basically resemble a cold, rainy night at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. That's the vibe that's going to be. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on this necessarily, but my strongest opinion will be the fact that I don't want a lot of three-loss teams there. You shouldn't be there if you lose three games, especially if you lose three horrible games, like Alabama did. In conference championship games, do they necessarily mean anything anymore? No, because Georgia and Texas were both going to go to the playoffs regardless of the outcome of the SEC championship. Can you really? I don't know, but I also think, though, is it kind of gratifying that Georgia won the SEC this year, considering what their schedule was? I think in that building, in the Butts Mirror building, it's kind of gratifying in a way. Certainly you wish you would have won a national championship, but that was tough sledding for Georgia last year. But that's what we want to see, though. If I'm a fan of a team, I want to see them go on the road, go to Austin, Texas, go to Columbus, see what you can do. Those are the games we want to see. Now, if I think, and I know what we're never going to get rid of the cupcake games. We can sit there and howl at the moon all we want. I don't see that happening. If they go to a 9-game conference schedule, you know what that means? You're out of conference rival. That means Clemson and South Carolina probably won't play anymore. Georgia and Georgia Tech probably won't play anymore because you're going to want to replace them with Chattanooga or App State, you know? And I know what App State's done in the past. They've snuck up and bitten some people. For the most part, they're not going to do it year in and year out, but you know what I'm saying. So I don't know. This is just a kind of a greed play. I don't know. I just never thought in a million years this is what college sports would be like. And it's also a bizarro world that you had the top two teams in college basketball are Auburn and Alabama, who played last Saturday. Right. That's crazy, isn't
right.
it? Everything's just weird now. NBA All-Star Game doesn't mean anything. Regular season doesn't mean anything to those guys until they decide to ramp it up in mid-March to get ready for the playoffs.
Yep.
So they sleepwalk through 82 games. They just mail it in. They do. It just seems like they do. I never thought I would see this in sports, but everything's just kind of weird. And now with this, with our college football, the NIL situation, transfer portal, all the things. Now, basically, a lot of colleges, you're basically adopting an NFL model for your administration. You're going to have a GM. Yeah. You're going to have a salary cap czar, basically. What is it going to be, around $21 million, I guess?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Someone who can finagle the NIL
money.
Someone
who can finagle the NIL money. So it's funny, though. A lot of my buddies who are just very passionate about college football, now there's just kind of an ick factor associated with it. It just seems kind of it just seems vulgar that as a freshman, you were getting all this money and you really haven't accomplished anything. In high school, you know what they say? You know what? When I started at West Georgia playing baseball, they looked at me, everybody's good in high school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So these guys are getting money for not proving anything. At least when you go pro, at least you do have a track record and big-time environments and big-time competition, but high school's not the same. But they're giving all these guys all this money. I don't think that's necessarily good for them, especially when you don't actually have executive function until you're 25 years old. You don't understand there are consequences for your actions. I think the transfer portal doesn't allow them to fail. They're not allowed to fail. They need to learn how to fail. So when things get a little inconvenient, they're gone. Coaches can't coach as hard as they used to for the most part. Well, I've heard some of Kirby's pregame speeches, but Kirby demands that respect. Other coaches who probably should be respected, not necessarily. If they coach a player too hard, he's going to get his feelings hurt. He's going to enter the portal. And I think they need to learn how to deal with adversity. Now, some situations are untenable. You can't stay there. You have no chance of ever playing. It is toxic for you. You should be able to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a red flag, though. When you see a lot of good players playing for their third and fourth school, that's a red flag to me.
Yeah, that's
a red flag. You are obsessed with self.
Yeah, that to me is the issue. When you have, like, if you if you leave because, you know, for whatever reason, you don't get along with the coach, you're not getting the playing time, you're not playing as well as you think you should, or whatever,
right,
that's fine. I don't have an issue with guys leaving, especially when we've seen coaches literally go out there, recruit guys, and then take a job and are gone the next week. So yeah. I have no problem with players getting into the transfer
portal. I understand that, yeah.
However, like you said, if you're a player who's out there and this is now your third time entering the transfer portal, it's probably not a program issue. It's probably a you thing, and you need to do some self-reflection.
And I'm sorry, man, and this is something I've talked about ad nauseum. This situation now, you're going to burn out really good coaches who can be really good for those young men or women that are playing sports. You're burning them out because you have to re-recruit your roster and recruit in addition to that. I think the days of the walk-on might be gone because of this. I mean, there's a lot of unintended consequences. And I said it when it happened. I said, anytime there's some large measure that comes into play, it looks good on the surface. Oh, the players are finally going to be able to make money. And they should. They should be able to. I'm not saying that. This is not an either or. There's nuance to it. But there's always unintended consequences. Miami's basketball coach. Fine coach. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm done with this. I can't deal with it. It's like in the NBA. When you give the players too much power, this is what you get.
Yep.
This is what you get. This is what we get in the NBA. A bunch of disinterested, complacent, spoiled, entitled guys. And I don't mind people. Make all the money in the world you want. But when you give a certain group too much power, well, the product's going to suffer. The sport's going to suffer.
Giving 19-year-olds $5 million
is absurd. Good Lord. I would have been in rehab 9 times by the time I was 22.
Do you know?
I was a knucklehead.
Oh, my gosh. But I do agree with you, though. I'm all for players getting their money. That's not an issue for me. I do agree, though. I think there just needs to be a cap. I think letting it be the wild, wild west and just being like, all right, players can get paid.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, we'll figure it out from there, was a mistake. I think that there needs to be some sort of guardrails. There needs to be some sort of cap on how much a guy can make, or if he is going to be making that much, it needs to be dispersed amongst the team, not just given to that one guy. Stuff like that, I think.
I think they're going to figure it out because they're seeing what's happening now. I hope they realize it. Otherwise, the whole thing's just going to blow up.
Because
people are going to lose interest. Like, I don't want to watch a bunch of spoiled, entitled kids who don't care about anything but themselves, and you'll be able to see it.
And like you said, for the coaches, it's really tough because, like, realistically, as a coach, what can you say to a 20-year-old that's getting paid more than you are? Think about that. As a coach, what are you going to say to this kid?
Yeah, it's like, screw you, old man. I'm making more money than you are.
What's your salary here? I get paid $10 million in NIL money. Yeah. You need to listen to me.
I think your best paid coordinators are now making about $2, $3 million a year. Well, there's some players making more than that.
I make 3 times as much as you. Yeah.
Maybe I should run this offense. There you go. Another law of unintended. I've talked about that as well, man. It's tough, dude. It's absolutely tough. All right, we got more to get into. Coming up next, our fun fact of the day. But is it fun, though? It's not fun if you're an Angels fan. This is crazy. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back. Triple tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Gone over a lot of things. We're going to get back into the Falcons, all the salary cap issues, and today is franchise tag day. That window is now open. Falcons, $11 million under the cap. Talked about the Braves, of course. Brian Snitker basically saying, I'm taking it one season at a time, one day at a time. He's about 69 years old. Thought maybe last year would have been enough for him after all the injuries. Talked about fixing the All-Star game in the NBA. Team USA versus the world. Play 1 year overseas in front of crazy crowds. Bring it back here. I think that would galvanize everything, kind of like the Four Nations tournament has done in the NHL. Talked about the Hawks. As they get back in action tomorrow night. And Orlando's coming in town tomorrow night. So the Hawks right now in eighth place. And within striking distance of the sixth seed, maybe in the fifth seed, an outside chance as far as that goes as well. But how about this? Here's our fun fact of the day. Not that some medieval people used urine as mouthwash. That's not what I was going to get into, but that is a fun fact, isn't it? How about this? Ted Williams, the great legendary Ted Williams, whose head is frozen, cryogenically frozen, played more baseball during World War II while also fighting in it than Anthony Rendon of the Angels has played during his massive contract, that seven-year, $245 million deal. Always injured, seems to hate baseball, seems to be very self-absorbed. People are just piling on him. That is crazy. This might be the worst contract in sports history. So as a Falcon fan, we're thinking about Kirk Cousins. At least as a Braves fan, we're not dealing with Anthony Rendon, who clearly hates baseball. Massively talented dude. Seems to be always injured. Injuries that he probably could play through as well, but just refuses to. Now I think he's going to have a hip procedure, which might be legitimate, but that's just absolutely crazy. And I was trying to think of who else is a professional athlete that hates the sport they play. Well, we can say that about Kyle Pitts. There just seems to be guys, okay, I've got this physical gift, I guess, and I can make a lot of money doing this, but I don't feel passionate about it, right? You think anybody else like that? Kyle Pitts, Anthony Rendon.
I was going to say, that's like Jokic. Jokic hates the NBA. I'm convinced Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, but he still does his job and plays great.
Well, that's true. He does.
But it is so funny, though, his body language. Like, it's like he has to show up to work in a cubicle for nine hours a day.
It's so funny.
It's hilarious.
It's so, because he, like, every interview, he's like, you know, I just want to go back home to my farm.
I just want to go be with my horse.
Like, I just want
to. But he clearly loves his teammates. Love him. But basketball is like, it's almost like a burden to him. But unlike Kyle Pitts or an Anthony Rendon,
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord, right?
Joel Embiid's like a perfect example of that.
Perfect example of that. I will not be playing back-to-back nights. Not going to
trust that process.
Trust the process. Oh, good Lord, man. In the 76ers, they were supposed to be, they were touted to be somebody that could have unseated Boston this year. That's not going to happen. I mean, they're in danger of not even making the playoffs.
It's bad.
Which is crazy,
it's
man.
It's bad.
It is really bad. I got to tell you, though, Orlando, I don't care what they are on the standings, that's a very good team. That's a dangerous team. They've had so many injuries, though, man.
They're a fun young team.
Yeah,
once they get healthy, like Paolo Banchero is legit.
Oh, yeah.
That team. And
he's missed 31 games, though.
Mm-hmm.
Franz Wagner, what, 20 games?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of length on defense. There's a great, great amount of talent, certainly. You know, we thought Miami could be an issue, but now that Jimmy Butler left, they're not going to be any sort of threat whatsoever. Like I said, though, the 76ers, a lot of people thought they'd be the top contender. They're in danger of missing the playoffs, man. That's crazy. Knicks, I don't think the Knicks are going to have much to say. I know they're kind of high up in the standings, but when have you ever seen a Tom Thibodeau coach team giving up 140 points? I always laugh, and I brought this up. It used to be, remember when he coached Chicago, it was like the first team to 90 wins the game.
First team to 90 wins.
Yep, not anymore, though. And the Knicks, I just don't think, I don't know what their identity necessarily. Karl-Anthony Towns has been playing great since he got there. Jalen Brunson's just an assassin. He's unbelievable.
I say this all the time about him. He is one of the players that I will put my hand up and say made me eat crow, because when they signed him to that contract, I shredded the Knicks. I was like, he's a number two, looking good because he plays next to Luka, and you all paid him all this money.
Right.
I thought the move was horrendous. I thought it was crazy that they gave him all that money. He has been worth every single penny.
Man.
He has been phenomenal.
And Dyson Daniels did a pretty good job defending him, but there's only so much you can do with a guy like that. Yeah. I mean, he's such a good finisher, and he's just wasn't that the game? Was it Carl Anthony Towns that had a very quiet 45 points? It was Brunson's 36, I believe, against the Knicks. Yeah,
feels like
Knicks
that
game against the Hawks. It's like, wow, that was he was a difference in that. Cleveland deep and talented as well. I don't know if anybody's gonna is anybody beating Boston. You think? I think anything's possible.
I don't think so. I think Boston, especially after having the experience,
are they
going to
go on a Golden State type run? You think?
You've got that young core, man. Like, you've got Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
And as long as you got those two, you're going to be contenders. It's a matter of, can you keep the team around them good enough?
Can you keep the team around them good enough?
If Porzingis stays, if Holiday's
healthy.
See,
if he can stay healthy, he's such a difference maker, but he can never stay healthy. But it's tough. for what is he, 7? Is he 7'3"?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Athletic 7'3", but those guys,
you remember,
they're injury prone.
I was going to say, last year.
Back or feet.
Last year in the finals, he was phenomenal in that game when he came back, and then I think he got hurt in the finals later on.
He
came out and had that one game where he had 20 points in the first half or something like that and went absolutely bonkers.
He's a problem, but guys like that, just that build is just not made for the grueling pounding of the NBA. That's why. And you see so many big men, once their feet go, they're history.
Yeah. Once.
That's what happened to Greg Oden when he came out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, he had those little stress fractures in his feet, and they just got worse and worse. Bill Walton's feet let him down ultimately. What could he have done?
We're unfortunately seeing some of that play out with Zion right now.
Yes. Well, Zion, he can't stay. He's going to eat himself out of the league.
That's also his issue.
Is Zion another guy that maybe not necessarily likes basketball, like
He likes the food more than he likes
Anthony Rendon
actually
hates,
playing for the Pelicans.
Yeah, Anthony Rendon hates baseball. Kyle Pitts hates football. And Zion Williamson hates. I predicted that. I mean, I'm not always right. I'm not sitting here bragging, but I just had that feeling when he was drafted coming out of Duke. I think a guy that is that explosive but that big, something's got to get.
He was going to have issues. And also, I said the same thing. I joked around about it, but, being in New Orleans isn't the best spot for him because have nothing but great food to eat. You have nothing but great food. You're Zion Williamson. I'm having crawfish every single night,
man,
and beignets. I don't. What are we talking about?
And I don't know if he necessarily hates basketball. He can't stay healthy, but I think if he put an emphasis on conditioning, maybe he would have stayed healthy.
Absolutely,
more.
I think we hear about how one of the reasons why LeBron is able to do what he does is because
steroids. Forms an answer. There's a conspiracy out there that he's got a link to some lab or something.
Hey, listen,
it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm
not saying it's true.
Yeah, I'll take the reported one, which is he spends $1 million on his body every offseason. That's what some of you other guys need to do.
Who is it in the NFL that does that? Is it Saquon that does that? Spends about a quarter mil.
I saw him saying that.
You know, especially special diet as a chef to prepare you. It means everything.
Mm-hmm.
It means
that
everything.
Stuff makes a huge difference.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the only reason why LeBron is playing like he still can at his age.
He
just only gets injured. Air quotes, because he didn't feel like playing in the All-Star game.
He
could steal some headlines.
But
that was a headline-stealing move by him, an attention-seeking, headline-stealing move for him. That's just absurd, man. Absolutely absurd. So there you go as far as that goes. Anthony Rendon, that's got to be. I mean, you have to have such a blatant disregard for your teammates, because there's been many times where he could play and just refuses to. What are the numbers? What was the numbers I had as far as he has missed. Where did I have that written down? It's a striking figure. I think he's missed. Oh damn it! I lost it. I completely lost it.
Oh, is it how many games he's missed out of possible games he could have played in?
Yeah, it's a crazy number, and I just lost it. And it was kind of
I think I saw one for Mike Trout the other day where it was he's only played in 227 of 600 possible games or something like that.
And then we're thinking, why does he get a pass? Does Mike Trout hate baseball? No.
Well, no. The thing with Mike Trout too is that we all recognize Mike Trout for the last decade has been probably the best player in baseball.
Oh,
the
yeah.
issue is just
he I mean,
can't
he's putting up
healthy.
Mickey Mantle type numbers.
Yeah,
we
when healthy.
That.
That's the thing with Mike is that it's not. It's very clearly not a you don't want to be here type thing. It's literally just
with Rendon, it's you don't want to be here. Sort
yeah,
of thing.
Unfortunately, Mike Trout's body just can't hold on.
No, I wish I could find those numbers because it is shocking. All the money he's making and just oh, good Lord. I wish I could find it, and I can't find it. It's such a jarring stat, and I just lost track of it because I'm over here shuffling papers around because I'm being animated because I'm really into what I'm doing. But I will tell you, he's probably appeared in 20% of the games he should have, something along those lines. But the numbers itself, precise numbers itself, are pretty jarring to us, say the least. So, but as for the Braves, their injury issues, certainly this year – you have to think that the baseball gods, the baseball deity can maybe smile upon them and say, okay, that's good enough. Because you had five of your regulars last year. What was it? Ozzie, Michael Harris. Sean Murphy.
You had a lot of key players miss a ton of time last year.
Yeah. I think it was five guys missing at least two months.
Yeah.
Like Michael Harris missed a bunch of time.
Yeah. No franchise is overcoming that.
And I got to tell you, center field's not even playing the outfield is not an easy thing to do. All the running you do, the banging, they bang into the wall more times than you think they do.
Taking injury out of it, because I know we were talking about kind of the roster construction, and a lot of people have been concerned about how, you know, some of the, especially getting the pitching staff and stuff in order. I'll ask you this question that I asked Chris. Is this the least confident you felt about a Braves team in the past 5 or 6 years?
I won't necessarily say that, because before the World Series win, I wasn't all that confident coming into the season.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Last year, I was overconfident. This year, I'm guardedly optimistic.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to be, if they stay healthy, they can be very competitive. There's no guarantees. Just because you're spending the equivalent of the gross national product of China on your roster, like Elias, that you're going to win a World Series. Yankees did it for years and years and years. They didn't win a whole lot of World Series. But that's expected of New York, because you got to be glamorous and sexy. Got to do that in L.A. as well. I'm pretty confident this year.
Okay, because I know.
Not as confident as I was last year. I just thought it's a foregone conclusion they're going to win the division and everything will be fine, but no.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does seem like just around the city, there's a lot less confidence going into this season as there has been the past two or three.
And I think I don't necessarily want to be the dominant team. I like the way they won the World Series. You scratched and clawed. You were not the dominant team during the regular season, but then you just capture that magic in the postseason. I think it's kind of fun to have like the Dodgers to hate even more than I normally do because of that payroll they have. That those are the guys, okay, because I already despise the Mets and the Phillies. Hated the Dodgers growing up because the Braves, you know, played in the National League West, which makes perfect sense. Just like having Cal and Stanford in the ACC makes perfect sense, right? But so it's kind of fun to have a villain, a bully and a villain. And we're this this team that is also very good, and we can give you some problems. But I wish it's going to be an interesting baseball season, though. And as for the Falcons, we're going to get back into the Falcons top of the hour. There's going to be some tough decisions to be made by Terry Fontenot and company. You're just $11 million under the cap, though. So what are you going to do? There are ways to ease that. There might be some beloved, familiar faces, though, that might have to be a casualty when it comes to that. Also, we're going to do a rewind, some things that happened this day in history. And, of course, get back into touch on the Braves a little bit more. And we'll do some headlines as well. You know, Michael Jordan is suing NASCAR.
I did not know that.
We'll get into that. I'll touch on that top of the hour. We'll get into news and notes at 9:20. But coming up next, Falcons. Is it time to say goodbye to some beloved Falcons? Grady Jarrett. Sports Radio 929 The Game.